Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Key, and as always, how are you today, Kyle?
Go New York, go New York, go, baby. New York Knicks. We finally have a team that we can both root for that we're going to talk about. How exciting is that, guys?
Something. It's definitely something. I mean, I don't know how much of a team we have to root for because it's the Knicks, but you never know.
3-1 in the preseason. We are going to be optimistic. I'm going to force some optimism upon everyone today. No matter how, I'm going to give everyone a false sense of hope, and it's going to be great. It's going to be really good because I do this to myself every year, and I'm sure you do too, or maybe you're just smarter than me. But
I mean, it depends. Like last season, I didn't have much hope. But regardless, so the Knicks open their season tonight against Indiana in Indiana. And then they play the day after Christmas. That's their home opener. So we're right into the NBA season. Like you said, Knicks 3-1 in the preseason. Something. So here, let's talk about positives first. What did you see in the preseason that you really liked?
I think you know what I'm going to say already.
I do.
It's Emmanuel Quickly.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I was talking about, shout out Tyler DeNoia. He's my boy. He's a huge Knicks fan. We'll probably have him on the show at some point to talk Knicks. He was telling me about how, like, the difference between, like, forwards and, like, guards at Kentucky. Like, think about the guards that have come out of Kentucky in the NBA and have just played really well. Like, Devin Booker, John Wall, De'Aaron Fox. And if Emmanuel Quickly can play to, like, that type of level, like, obviously, like, that's, like, those are pretty high expectations. And, like, none of those guys have been able to lead a team, like, to the playoffs. But, like, they're still impact players. They've all been, like, all-star. Has De'Aaron Fox been an all-star yet?
I don't know, but he's at that level of like
and right he there. He got that big time extension. Mm-hmm. He's definitely the best player on the Kings. Devin Booker, I think he had his first all-star appearance recently, right?
Yes.
And then John Wall, we all know what John Wall has been able to do when he's healthy. Yeah, Emmanuel Quickly looked really good. And, you know, the most frustrating part about that is that I know for a fact that Elfrid Payton's going to be starting over him tonight.
Well, because here's the thing, like, I think the good part about this team is that they're young enough where we could go in right now and start Elfrid Payton. And by the end of, like, by 10 games from now, they'll be able to adjust and play these, like, younger players where give them a little feel for the game. They've never played an NBA regular season game, so obviously they got to learn and develop and stuff. But I think that by the end of this season, this Knicks team is going to be looking a lot better than they do right now. And I'm saying that just because right now they're going in with a lot of question marks and they're going in with a lot of what's going to happen type thing. Like, because there's a lot of unproven talent in this Knicks organization. Because, I mean, right now you have Mitchell Robinson, obviously, what is this, his third year now? Is this third or second?
Yeah, I think it's Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson's third year.
Yeah. So Mitchell Robinson's coming in. Is he going to have like his, I mean, he's been playing very well, but his like kind of breakout year where he solidifies himself as the starting center.
Where he takes the next step and like.
Yeah, exactly.
Really all he needs to do is like, he's got to cut down on the fouls. He's a good inside defender. He protects the paint really well. He scores well enough. And like, I don't expect him to be like an 18-12 guy, but like if he can be like 15-10, and not get a bunch of fouls and play good defense.
That's perfect.
That's exactly what you need out of a starting center.
And then also in that draft class, Kevin Knox, is Kevin Knox a bust? Is he going to have some sort of like the same thing, like the next step up? Is he able to take what we thought his talents were going to be and actually translate that to the NBA game? Because we haven't really seen that yet.
Right. He needs to take that next step. It's his third year. New head coach, new system. His role is probably, if he could even just develop into a solid rotation player, that's what I'm looking at for him and Ntilikina. Like, we know the ceiling is not going to be, like, sky high like maybe we initially thought with Kevin Knox. Like, I never really thought Frank Ntilikina could be, like, the starting point guard for the Knicks. But, like, if he can, like, step into that role and play good defense, come off the bench, hit a few shots, get a few steals – that's what I want out of him. Nothing dumb. Same with Kevin Knox. Like, get in there and score, man. Just get in there and, like, impose your will. Hit your shots. He had an okay preseason. But yeah, those are two guys that I'm looking that they need to prove something to the fans and to the front office this year that they're worth keeping around on a second like extension contract. I think him and if I'm correct, I think was it Knox and Frank that got like little extensions almost like.
I think so. I might be wrong.
Like they took the team option on like another year or whatever it was. I don't really know the whole story behind that, but I saw something like that. And yeah, this is like they need to step into that role and kind of perform a little bit better than they have so far in their first few years.
Look, I think that in terms of this team, our main like, I don't know what the right word is, but like right now, if you look at the point guard room, it's a complete mess just because of how crowded it is. I mean, you have Elfrid Payton, you have is the new guy, is Jared Harper a point guard or a shooting guard?
I don't know, but yeah.
No, like, he's not really a big part anyway.
General, like the guard room, yeah, you're right, it's a mess. It's Frank, it's Elfrid Payton, it's Dennis Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. Obviously, quickly, Austin Rivers is in there, like Alec Burks. Like they've got a lot of – it's a mess. That's the best way to put it.
And look, Dennis Smith, I don't know. Dennis Smith could either be like a make or break type thing where either he's going to be very crucial for this team or he's just not going to be a factor at all. I don't think Dennis Smith is a Nick by the end of the season. I think that out of everyone on the team, he's most likely going to be the first to get traded. Unfortunately, I would like to see Randall traded first, but I don't know if that's a possibility or not.
Right.
I thought Randall was going to get dealt over the offseason. That didn't happen.
Randall's value on this team, I don't see. It's just not, like, it's just not there.
Yeah, like
for that contract, it's just not there because this isn't a win-now team. Like, he could be a better starting forward on, like, a contender. Like,
exactly.
Philadelphia or Boston or somewhere like that, like, where he might, like, just come off the bench and be, like, a good, like, sixth or seventh man to get you some points. But
because the way that the Knicks were using him last season is really similar to the way that the Pelicans used to use Anthony Davis. And Julius Randle just is not Anthony Davis in the slightest.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I don't know. I don't think that he's a fit for this New York team. Because, you know, if you needed, like, someone like a big man type thing that could – like actually get boards and play in the post and that kind of thing, they should have just kept Enes Kanter.
Exactly. And like
double
that shows like how much like the Knicks just they're just like wavering the line of being like they're not tanking but they're trying to. It's so weird, like they're so, it almost seems like they're so happy to be coming like 10th to 13th in the East every year.
Yeah, I mean, because they're not like absolutely horrible, but then they're not good in the slightest, so they're always like you said, like in that 10-13 slot.
Yeah. This is a year like I said I was going to be optimistic, but like realistically, like this year's going to be super weird. And I think it's kind of like everything's kind of just out of the rabbit hole. Like it's going to be a weird year. There's no chance the Knicks can compete with like the top contenders in the East. They're not as good as the Nets. They're not as good as the Celtics. They're not as good as the Heat. They're not as good as the Bucks.
Look, I just want to see the Knicks grab a playoff spot. Like,
I'd be content this year. This is what I was saying about the Giants almost. It's like if you can snag a playoff spot, that does almost more for, like, the winning culture than another, like, sixth overall pick could. You know what I mean? And 100%. Speaking of which, what are your expectations for Obi Toppin this year after what we saw in the preseason?
Okay. So, like, look, I think he had a pretty good – no, that's not true. I think he had an okay preseason. Obviously, like the first two games he wasn't really
inconsistent is the word.
Yeah, that's the right word. But I don't know, I feel like if he's able to get his shot down, if he's able to kind of develop more, because you know, you really can't judge someone based off of their first two preseason games as a New York Knick without getting any other like prior summer league games in or anything like that.
Correct. Yeah,
I think it's still too early to decide, like, oh, Obi Toppin's going to be the next Michael Jordan or Obi Toppin's going to be a complete bust. Yeah. So I think that in the sense he has a lot to grow. He has a lot to learn and develop with. I think that the situation that he's in right now is good in the sense that, like, he has building blocks around him that are all young, where if he actually is going to be a star, then he's in a decent spot. But I think, I don't know, I'm getting Kevin Knox vibes in the sense that, like, he's really hyped up and then he's just going to be absolute crap. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like I have a slight, like, glimmer of hope for him.
The one thing about Obi Toppin, and this is such a dumb thing to lean back on, it's like the fact that he's from New York just kind of resonates with me a little bit. The way he reacted to getting drafted by the Knicks, like that, like, I don't know, like, I'm one of those, like, emotional fans where it's like, oh yeah, like that gets me so, like, that makes me want to run through a brick wall for this guy. But, like, at the same time, he has to perform. Otherwise, I'm not going to be that way. Like, all the, you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
But then again, like, I don't know, like, what his role is going to be. Because, like, the Knicks are so caught up in, like, here. Let's talk about, like, what their starting lineup is going to be. Like, their only young guy that we want to see playing, and we haven't even said his name yet. RJ Barrett is going to start, and we're happy about that.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett, he's another, it's his second year. If he can just bump up his stats a little bit more, if he could shoot a little bit better than he did last year, that's a huge help. Because I really do think that, like, the Knicks, that's a good pick for the Knicks. RJ Barrett is a really talented player.
100%. We've
all seen how the Knicks can do a really bad job with development in their young guys like this with a lot of talent. So hopefully he kind of does what Kristaps did in his second year and just, like, really just gets a lot better now that he's, like, going to be one of the main guys in the offense. Because we all remember that year, it was either Kristaps' second or third year, where he just got a lot better when he was, like, the main guy after Melo was gone and before he tore his ACL, unfortunately. And then, obviously, we all know that whole episode, just a lot of a mess with Kristaps Porzingis. But, yeah, like, I would love to see if he could step into that role and, like, really – play, this is a lot to ask, and I don't know if it's realistic, but if he could play, like, all-star level caliber basketball, like, this year or next year, like, we need to see a guy on the Knicks step up like that. And if it's going to be anyone, it's going to be him. I think he's the most talented player on the team.
That's fair. I mean, look, I have high hopes for him. I think that he has the, like you said, like, I think he has, out of all the Knicks, he has the highest potential to kind of step up and play at an all-star level. I mean, I don't know how realistic that is, but I think that the star power is definitely there. He just needs to kind of, like, channel that in a way. But, okay, so I'm just going to say one thing that I saw in the preseason, not including Barrett or anything like that, but one thing that I saw that really, like, made me happy was the way that Mitchell Robinson and Nerlens Noel were able to, like, kind of feed off each other. Like, the way that they kind of have a similar play style, but, like, the defense, in a sense, was really nice to watch, if that makes sense.
You're right. And I did like that Thunder and Lightning kind of Noel, Robinson duo. Like, that might work, you know, might work. And I think Nerlens Noel is definitely going to be a guy that starts tonight. I think it's going to be Peyton Barrett, Noel, Randall, and I don't even know, like, maybe, like, Alec Burks or Reggie Bullock, someone like that. Like, I don't see the Knicks starting. I don't think Quickley's going to start. I know Knox and Ntilikina aren't going to start, and I don't think Obi Toppin's going to start either.
No, I don't think. I think right now the Knicks are probably deciding on whether to start Elfrid Payton or Austin Rivers, which is kind of upsetting. But, like,
I want to see Quickley get good minutes, though, because when you drop 20 in two preseason games, I don't know how much that means against, like, the Cavs, but, like, it shows you that there's potential. And when there's potential, you have to let that play out. And, like, we'll talk about Thibodeau for a second. Tom Thibodeau, we all know his style as a coach. He tends to leave his starters in too long. He's not great at handling the rotation from time to time. This is a team where he's going to have to be good at using the rotation. He has to get Barrett. He can't overwork Barrett. He can't overwork Mitchell Robinson. He's going to have to find times for, like, Emmanuel Quickley to play, for Obi Toppin to play, for Kevin Knox to play, so on and so forth. And really, the Knicks are going to have, like, I think probably a 10 or 11 man rotation to start the season. And that's where it's going to start showing up, because later on in the season, that's where how you know who's going to get quality minutes. That's how you're going to know who's in the game 5 minutes left when it's a one possession game, and who can play defense and who can hit clutch shots. And there's just this is what goes back to what you said earlier. There's a lot of question marks there's a lot of question marks, and these young players need to answer those questions, because a lot of them, their time as, in air quotes, young players is kind of ticking. And we can still be patient with guys like RJ Barrett and Kevin Knox, but like, it's not put up or shut up just yet, but they're going to have to take a step this year. Otherwise, I don't really know what the direction is.
Look, one thing that I could say about the Knicks is that I have more faith in this team going into this season as I did last season.
Well, because last season was so demoralizing with going from Zion, KD, Kyrie to Julius Randle, and like, ugh, what a mess.
Like, everyone expected the Knicks, like, 3 months before the season to be a playoff contender because they thought that everything was coming to them, and that just didn't happen. So this year, like, obviously it's not the same situation, but I have – I don't know, because I don't want to say, like, I have faith in them, because I really don't, but I have hope. That's a better word. Like, I don't have faith, I have hope, because I feel like this team could be good. Not good, but I think this team could snag an 8 seed.
I think this
under
team
the right circumstances.
This team, as opposed to last year's, has a much better opportunity to surprise us.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like they could surprise us, and it's hard to win in New York. It's really hard to win when you're the Knicks. It's just, we've talked about this before. In my opinion, it is playing for the New York Knicks, that's probably the hardest place to win in all of sports for a plethora of reasons that we really don't need to get into just yet, until they start off 2-7 and we freak out. But if a group of young guys and Tom Thibodeau could lead this team to playing competitive basketball late in the season, that gives me maybe we're one star away kind of feeling that I didn't have after last year or a few years prior, where I was just like, oh, they're just gonna curl into a ball here.
Yeah. One thing with the Knicks that I was actually kind of like upset to see, and like I understand why the move was made, but so they waived 3 players at the end of the preseason, and one of those players was Miles Powell, who
that upset me too.
I mean, I was just kind of hoping to like see him, even though he played like 1 game in the preseason.
Yeah, and he's a Jersey guy, so for me, I was like, oh, it was so exciting to like just like, I don't know, like Seton Hall, like it's just Knicks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so Knicks, but yeah, it does stink. But like we said, like that guard room is a mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather have him on the team than like, I don't know, like Jared Harper or like Theo Pinson. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I trust that Leon Rose has a plan in all this, but like, I don't know. I feel like there's some like kind of excitement level that you would get with Miles Powell as opposed to like Omari Spellman.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the move. I was hoping for the best for Powell.
I was rooting for that guy.
I hope that he's able to find another spot on a team, though. Or at least the Knicks get him on the G League team or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Be good to keep him around, but...
Okay, wait, hold on. Before we go into anything else Knicks, I just kind of want to like... change the topic real quick to the complete other sport. I just want to say that Adam Schefter just tweeted, Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster told reporters today, for the betterment of myself and my teammates, I'm going to stop dancing on the logos. I just wanted to put that out there.
So, oh, Jesus. The Steelers are a mess.
That's all we have for football.
We're refraining from talking football in this episode, if you couldn't tell, because both of us are a little bit upset.
A little bit.
And like, it's Christmas, and we're just gonna try and enjoy our Christmas, and then we'll talk about week 16, and like we'll probably talk about week 15 too, because no more football because we gotta be optimistic about the Knicks here. But Knicks Pacers tonight.
What are some things that you're looking to see tonight?
I want to see how quickly Knox, Toppin, these young guys that are going to be coming off the bench. I guess you can throw Mitchell Robinson in there too, because I doubt he starts. I want to see how these guys are used off the bench. I want to see how the rotation is utilized. I want to see how they play. I'm more excited to see how they play than most of the starters. And then obviously the obvious one is I want RJ Barrett to step up and play really well. I want that guy to take charge. I want him to have more confidence. I want him to perhaps having a bit of mentality to be like, this is my team. I'm going to take over. I'm going to lead the Knicks. I'm going to be that guy in New York, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the third overall pick after all. Like, and we've seen how Zion and Ja Morant have already quickly impacted their teams. That is when Zion is able to stay on the court. But regardless, I want to see RJ step into that and maybe grow a little bit. I think this is his year, not 19-year-old or 20-year-old season.
I think
one of those two.
Yeah.
Regardless, yeah, I'd love to see him get a little bit more confidence, work on his shot a little bit, and just grow as a player. And that's what I want to see tonight and going forward. But what about you?
Okay, so right now Indiana's favored. I think it's a spot. They're up 7.5. I think what the spread is. So I'm not really expecting a win. Like I'm okay.
I'm not expecting a ton of wins at all this season.
Look, I just want to see potential tonight. I want to, like you said, I want to see these young guys able to succeed. I want to see someone like an RJ that's able to kind of take charge for the. I just want to see people step up. So if Quickly's able to play the way that he was over the preseason, that would be absolutely incredible. I don't know how realistic that is in the sense for the first game, but I don't know. I just feel like with tonight, I'm less focused on winning the game and more focused on seeing the potential that this Knicks team has. And I feel like it's the same thing like with the coaching staff too. Like they want to see who's able to kind of who's able to develop and they're able to play well in NBA court. And obviously one game means nothing, but like, you know, I wouldn't exactly be complaining if someone like an Obi Toppin or an Emmanuel Quickly decided to put up a Michael Carter Williams rookie debut.
Exactly. I was going to say that as well. Like I want to see how Thibodeau handles a young team where he's starting these kind of grizzled journeyman vets. And I want to see how he'll be able to fit these young guys that he knows he needs to develop that we're hoping are the future of this organization. And I want to see how that all kind of plays out, because this is, I think, a test that Thibodeau, who's now a veteran coach, has never really had before. He was in Chicago where he had immediate stars in Rose and Joakim Noah. And you could even throw like Boozer in there, I guess. Like that was a good team. When he went to Minnesota, you already knew guys like Kat, Andrew Wiggins. I think Butler was on that team at the time. You knew who the starters were going to be. But, like, this is a team where it's, like, young guys that you still need to develop. They haven't really developed into a stardom, all-star level play yet. And you're going to have to guide these kids through a weird, weird 2020-2021 season. And this could be a huge learning experience for everyone for the Knicks. And like I said, you never know. Like if this team could go to an eight, could get an eight seed, like it's a weird year. There's no such thing as home court. And the most magical thing in my mind would be able to going into Brooklyn and beating them in a playoff series. I think I would literally cry, but that will definitely not happen if we're being realistic, but tonight and I think the day after Christmas, those two games, then the game against the Bucks following that, these first three are going to tell us a lot about how the Knicks are really going to approach the season, because like you said, there's a lot of question marks and right now we don't know. But I want to see the young players maybe step up, become more confident. I want to see how Thibodeau handles this team, and I want to see an RJ Barrett, an Obi Toppin, an Emmanuel Quickly, even a Mitchell Robinson. I want to see a guy like that step into his own and become a leader on this team, because the Knicks don't have that leader and it's not going to be Julius Randle. So everyone stop saying that.
Okay. Right. So like, honestly, I completely agree with you in that sense. Like we need a leader. Now, what do you think, should the Knicks try to make any like big trades in the first few weeks of the season?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. And I did see a report a few weeks ago. I think we briefly talked about it on one of our shows in the last month, that Thibodeau wants a star in New York. Hopefully we can develop a star in New York. The Knicks haven't developed a star since Patrick Ewing. But, I mean, think about it.
No, that's true. That's true.
But, yeah, like, the Knicks aren't going to trade for James Harden. So, everyone stop it. Good. The Knicks aren't going to trade for James Harden. Giannis just signed a huge extension. So, Giannis isn't coming to New York. But I don't know exactly what he has in mind with, like, bringing a star to New York. But Thibodeau did say that. And maybe not for this year, but for next year, it could be good to pair, like, if RJ Barrett gets into that most improved category or Mitchell Robinson or any of those guys, to pair him up with another guy, then the Knicks could seriously make some noise in the East. Because at the end of the day, if the Knicks do a good enough job developing the role players, kind of like the Miami Heat did, and then can just get that one star, that's an NBA Finals appearance. Not every time, but when they're well coached. And it's just, you never know. The East has been a crapshoot for years, especially now that LeBron is gone. Like, I wouldn't mind it, but there are a few untouchables that I mentioned. Like, I wouldn't want RJ gone. I don't think I'd want to trade Toppin or Quickly just yet, just because, like, we haven't seen enough from them. We don't know what kind of value that's going to be, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting. But what do you have in mind exactly for that?
I don't know. I mean, in the sense of, like, trading for somebody, I don't really think that out there there's any options that would really fit the Knicks. I don't want the Knicks trading for Harden. I think that would be a bad move. But I was rooting for a Westbrook trade. I think Westbrook would have fit really well in the New York market and with the team. But, I mean, obviously that's not going to happen. Now he's on Washington. But,
and he looks happy in Washington. Honestly, good for him.
Yeah, now I'm happy for him. I just wish that it was a Knicks uniform. But you know what? What can you do?
Right.
I think that the Knicks have expendable players. I think that, like, everyone that we're talking about, like Ntilikina, Knox, Toppin, they're not going to trade Toppin, Barrett. They could trade Quickly, which is kind of annoying because I think that he has a lot more potential than some of these other guys.
I don't think they would dare.
I hope not. I hope that they keep him, but I don't know. It seems like a very Knicks thing to do to trade him. But look, I think that the first, like, young player to go is going to be Knox or Ntilikina. From there, they definitely could trade Robinson. I don't think that they should, but Robinson has been up there in trade talks, and I don't think that that's the smart move for the Knicks, but if they're going for a star, that's probably going to have to be in there. Because the Knicks aren't going to be able to trade for a star with just Knox, Ntilikina, Randall, and a few picks. You're not going to get what people are expecting with just that. And, you know, I don't know who they would trade for in the first place, but they're not going to get a next generation talent with just that.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know what to expect of this Knicks team, this Knicks season. I'm hoping for the best. I'll be watching the game tonight and I'll be rooting for them. Obviously, like I said before, like we said, I want to look for potential more than anything.
Right. Yeah, and this just goes back to the question mark situation where we just don't know yet. Like, the preseason only tells us so much. Yeah. It didn't tell us much about what Thibodeau's game plan is going to be. It didn't tell us much about how much he intends to use our young players. But it's showtime now, and the Knicks are really they've been in basketball purgatory for a long time here. And there's a new regime with Thibodeau and Leon Rose that they have a real chance to just kind of turn around this program. And this is as optimistic about a general manager, I think, that I've been since Phil Jackson, to be honest with you. Leon Rose has already done a few things that I really liked. I think Thibodeau, I like him as a coach more than I liked anyone. Like, I liked Fizdale at the time, but obviously that didn't work out. I didn't really love Hornacek, like any of the guys before that. Like, since Mike Woodson, I haven't really had a ton of optimism. I mean, Derek Fisher, like, that was a mess too. Like,
yeah.
But we'll see. Because the Knicks have tried so much, and it seems like they're almost going for a little bit of a different approach to trying to get this team out of the mud water this time. And hopefully it works.
I don't know. I'm hoping for the best. I don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah, you just got to hope.
Yeah, I know this is a Mets saying, but you got to believe. You got to believe. But
it's worked so well for the Mets.
It might now. But
you never know.
Meanwhile, Tommy Canley signed with the Dodgers this morning. We haven't talked about baseball in months, but Cashman, Hal, what are you doing? That's it. We're not talking about baseball again until March.
We'll have a baseball recap decently soon.
No. There's nothing going on except for, like, the Mets, like, Steve Cohen's being funny on Twitter, and all Mets fans are like, oh, ha, 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 daddy. And it's like, oh, like, I'm jealous of you guys. And then, meanwhile, Cashman and Hal are smelling their own, oh, whatever. I'm not even going to say that. And they're just, oh, DJ, I don't know. We're broke boy now. Like, that's just not even true. And, like, oh, it's just whatever. It's just, I don't know. It seems like the Yankees are trying to close their championship window, which is really making me mad. But
we'll see. I mean,
whatever. Baseball and football are stressing me out right now. And then obviously hockey is back on January 13th. I don't know if you know this, but like they realigned, dude, the schedule is insane. It's a 56 game season that they're playing 8 games against only teams in their division. And mm-hmm. I think the Rangers division is like, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, the Bruins, the Penguins, the Flyers, and the Sabres, and I'm forgetting one. But, like, who am I forgetting? I'm checking. I'm going to drive myself crazy. And the Capitals, that's the team I'm forgetting. So that's insane. That's going to be a really hard division to make the playoffs in. That's the best division in hockey. 100%. But, yeah, this is quite the year for you to be getting into hockey. It's going to be insane. Like, we're going to have Rangers Islanders and Rangers Devils 8 times.
I'm excited.
That's insanity. So, and the Rangers have a young team. We're going to do a Rangers preview probably in a couple weeks, and I'm going to force Anthony to watch hockey because he's going to get into it this year.
I said that I would. I'm watching hockey this year.
And it's going to be fun for all of us. But yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. Things are finally starting to look up for like just sports all around. Like football season's coming to a close here. Obviously not great for us, but the NFL did a decently good enough job. The Knicks season starting, hockey finally figured it out. Baseball's being weird as usual, but that's no shocker. The MLB hates marketing so much. They're so bad at it. They are the worst sport at it. That's why they're not popular anymore. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm excited for this Knicks season, man. I say it every year, but I don't know. I really think I want this team to show me something so bad.
I think obviously, like, we're both hoping for it, but only time will tell. I just know that tonight's game is going to be very exciting to watch.
We haven't watched Knicks basketball in over 9 months. Like real Knicks basketball. And I don't know. I'm excited about that because I remember watching Vince Carter hit that three in that game against the Knicks in overtime. And that was the last Knicks basketball we watched. It was right before Corona really just ruined everything. But
mm-hmm.
that was cool. And I'm excited to see what they do. The Knicks haven't lost in 9 months.
Something.
They haven't lost a regular season game in 9 months. So, and I'm almost glad the Knicks didn't go undefeated in the preseason because then everyone would just be like freaking out. But since they went 3-1, that's like the perfect median, you know?
I mean, hey, look, I mean, I have this stat in my head just because like the Jets, I was planning for an 0-16 season. But the two other 0-16 teams recently, the Lions and the Browns, both went 4-0 in the preseason. So, you know, it doesn't always mean anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, do we have anything else to talk? Do you want to just – I'll just talk about the Giants for like 2 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm counseling. We're not healthy enough. We're not ready yet. They're too young. And Washington's better than us right now. They have more of – they're in a little bit more of a win-now mode. They have a little bit more veterans. Their team is not as new. Riverboat Ron's been around the block and Joe Judge is still kind of feeling it out a little bit. I still believe in his system. I believe in his program, but as long as Daniel Jones, who I'm not even sure is going to be the total answer, he might just be more of a game manager. It's just not looking good right now. Too many injuries and they have to play the Ravens and they had the chance to take over first and shock us all on Sunday night and they kind of pooped the bed. So that's my Giants take. We're going to talk more football. We're going to do our Sunday recap after Christmas, but we kind of just wanted to talk football maybe just briefly because doing 2 episodes right before the holidays is a mess because we tried and it just didn't work out.
Well, honestly, like we'll have more stuff after the holidays.
You have to just talk about the Jets for like 1 minute, like I did. I
really don't want to in the slightest because you don't.
It's gonna take more than a minute. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so now just like a quick little recap. It was really weird to root against the Jets that entire game, and the fact that they were winning that entire game made me very upset. And I thought like, hey, it's the Jets. They'll just, you know, kind of let it go in the Jets fashion, but they didn't. They didn't. And then. I don't know. So many different emotions were going through my head because, look, I'm really happy to see them win. I'm glad that we're not going 0-16. But at the same time, I'm so upset because that one first down to Frank Gore just set the franchise back 10 years. The difference between the number one pick and the number two pick is drastic.
I mean, this is the biggest quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. And before that, like – maybe Peyton Manning. I don't know. Like,
look, I think that,
and I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound. It's just what I've heard.
The Knicks. Oh, why am I saying the Knicks? The Jets are. The Jets can't even tank right. It's insane. And like, obviously, they're gonna go out there every week and try to win the game. But come on, man! Like, now everything changes because right now I was hoping for. Number one pick, you get Trevor Lawrence, and then you're going to have all these different assets and stuff that you could try to build around Trevor Lawrence, and you could trade Darnold for a second, third round pick. Now, I don't know. Now, I don't think that the Jets should go with Justin Fields or another quarterback. I think that they stick with Darnold.
Yeah, at this point, you're right.
I don't know.
Darnold was playing for his job in New York but getting that win.
Look, I think that right now the Jets' future is a question mark, much more of a question mark than it was a week ago, but we'll get more into football in our next episode.
Like once the NFL season ends, we're gonna have to do a huge Giants Jets recap on like just like kind of breaking down everything and then the future a little bit. But like we're kind of gonna do after football ends, we're gonna have so much basketball and hockey to talk about that like we're kind of just gonna have to shut down on football like how we did on baseball because like there's like I don't know. Like, I don't really feel like talking about the Giants and Jets in April. I don't know about you, but.
No, I mean.
It sucks. Like, also, like, even as, like, a Giants fan, like, yeah, I was laughing as it was all happening because it's like, oh, comedy, ha, ha, ha. But, like, having Trevor Lawrence in New York would have been cool.
We'll see. I mean,
The Jaguars can still win a game, dude. How funny would that be if the Jaguars
win a game? I have my Minshew jersey. I will wear that the next 2 weeks.
How funny would that be if the Jaguars ended up winning one of their
lives? They play the Bears and the Colts. I just got to hope that Allen Robinson and Mitchell Trubisky just don't connect at all next game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to win one of those, even if you're trying to win, which they're not. But
Minshew mania.
It's really, yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks for the Jets.
It's a hard day. It's a hard span to not have NFL red zone.
And by the way, Jets fans that wanted the Jets to win, what the hell were you talking about?
Look, you always
want to. I saw people on Twitter that were like, oh, like, bro, if you can go 0-16 and get Trevor Lawrence, you go 0-16 and get Trevor Lawrence, dude.
No one wants to go 0-16. But no one wants to give up the best quarterback that's coming into the league in possibly the past 10 years, the most hyped up prospect. Look,
yeah,
we'll get more into this in our NFL episode. Let's try to just keep this one solely negs. Honestly, that's probably all that we have for right now. And anyway,
yeah,
it's just a lot of pain. Hopefully the Knicks are able to give us some hope. We'll see.
I just want the Knicks and Rangers to do enough to keep us entertained until baseball season, because realistically, like as much as I'm crapping on the Yankees right now, like they're still a contender. The Mets are making moves. Like we're going to have a fun summer. We just need to keep the Knicks and Rangers need to hold us over, man.
God, I can't wait till summer.
Yeah, well, seriously. Summer's going to be fun for so many reasons, but whatever. I mean, that's all we really have, right? Do we have any more Knicks?
I think that's about it. Why don't you give your socials real quick?
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. That's Kai1EKeegan. The L is a one, Kai1EKeegan on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to follow us on Instagram and TikTok, it's at Big Apple Sports Media. And on Twitter, it's at Big Apple SP Media. We have like 4 or 5 TikToks up right now, probably like 1,000 views each on all most of them. But oh my gosh, you have to do a duet with one that says 1-13.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'll do that.
Yeah, but like it's almost worse.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, whatever. Okay, do your socials.
I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. So much pain.
I shouldn't have talked about the Jets because we were doing such a good job the whole episode.
Yeah, we had it. Okay, well, that's all that we have for today. Thank you all for listening. If you're listening to this before Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate, happy holidays. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.